This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast.
Sean Murphy to John Murphy. This is Connor Lawler. This could be the icing on the cake. Second goal for Carlo, and surely now they're into the Leinster semi-final.
At the end of the day, you ask players to do a job, and no matter what we do, say, we can be called great lads now, and we have the team moving. We haven't been moving, it's the players that do it. We can't train.
Carlo have restarted quickly. Long ball sent into that inside forward line. Oh, and it's broken for James Doyle. Goal chance for Carlo, and they've taken it.
On their last, Naas retained their senior football championship title in Kildare. Former Aeroge and Carlo intercounty footballer Joe Murphy was manager of the winning side. Joe, good to see you. Congratulations on your win last Sunday with Naas against Clane, wasn't it? 112 to 6 points. I suppose easier than you would have expected, but having said that, you're only there since February, and to win a senior football championship with the club, you must be absolutely delighted.
Yeah, it was a good achievement. There was a lot in that, Kieran, in the road I had to travel to win it, really, you know. You know, all the traditional strong teams of the last 10 years fell Naas's way this year, right from the get-go, from the preliminary round. So, the bet Moorfield, the bet of Tye, bet Sarsfield, bet Selbridge, and then Clane in the final. So, I mean, you can't really knock that run to a county championship. It's the hard way of doing it. And, yeah, there was a couple of tight ones along the way, but they showed real resolve in getting through maybe the quarterfinal, semi-final. They were tight affairs. So, yeah, I think the club is happy and happy in the manner in which they achieved the success this year.
And it's a double as well, isn't it? It's hurling and football double.
Hurling and football is remarkable, really. Like, there's not too many clubs in the country that can do that. And, like, there's a couple of hurlers on the football team. There's a full-back midfield, Brian Byrne and James Burke. And they're both Kildare hurlers as well, who won the Christy Ring this year. So really from, I don't know, you could say maybe from midsummer last year, those guys haven't had a break because they went from football hurling all the way through. They won the Intermediate All-Ireland club final and then straight into Kildare, you know, hurling and all the way to the Christy Ring, and straight from the Christy Ring that week, back with the footballers preparing for a football championship and a hurling championship with Naas. So, I mean, that's some commitment and, you know, some achievement for those two guys to get. Double-double. They did it last year as well, you know. So, yeah.
And you're a fella that likes to, you know, you demand a certain standard in training. So how did you mix that? Did you give lads time off? Did you tell them to come to the club and not have them train? What did you do?
When they were with the county?
Well, no, when you got them back.
Oh, yeah, right. With the hurling and that.
Yeah, well, when you got the back of football only, you know, they were, as you say, as you went through there, there was no end to it. Did you give them breaks from training or
no?
What did you do? No.
No, well, I mean, okay, and it's tough going, but they're good lads. They didn't actually look for it or anything like that. You know, they got back on the horse, as it were, with Naas and that. But, you know, it was very important for us because we had a sort of a short lead into the championship after the hurling finished and that. So, you know, we hadn't seen them all year, you know, with their inter-county commitments and the split season and that. So we had to have a look at them. We had to get them back into our environment and that. And, you know, so there was no real breaks there. They were on board pretty much straight away. And then when they have a run up to a hurling championship match, you know, that we give them the sort of last training session off that week, and it's vice versa with the football as well. So, you know, that works well, all right. But like I said, they're two excellent guys. Like, you know, they just love both, and you know, and two top performers in both as well. You know.
Yeah, and so for people who don't know the format of the Naas Senior Football Championship, you alluded there to the games you had. What was the format? And
yeah, it's a queer one, and it took me a little time to work it out as well. Like, they have a preliminary round, and all the winners go into two groups. There's 16 teams, and all the winners go into two groups, and all the losers go into two groups then. And the top three The top two in the losers group go straight to quarter final, and the opposition in those quarterfinals are based on the top one of the losers group and a playoff between the third and the second, between the losers winners group. It's very complicated, really, you know, but it seems to work out well, you know. And I was scratching my head a little bit with it at the start that, you know, if you win the preliminary round of the championship, you're nearly penalised because you're with all the other winners in groups as well. Like, you know, and it's tough going like that. That's how so competitive up there. And every game seems to have, you know, something on the line. Like, there's no dead rubber games. There was, you know, and everyone nearly, I think we were the only team that were qualified of all the group stages. I think Nace were the only team that were guaranteed a quarterfinal spot going into the last game. So, you know, I really enjoyed it now. It's an unusual system, but it works for them anyway. It was enjoyable, like I said.
Yeah, was there any games in particular that you were, you felt you might have you got the rub of the green, or was there any games that you had to dig really deep to come out?
Well, the preliminary round against Moorfield, we lost the guy to two yellow cards in the first half, and Moorfield actually played particularly well that day against us. And we were 4 or 5 down and 14 men against 15 as well. And we got it back to a draw, and it went to extra time then. And then we bumped back up to 15 and we won it fairly comfortable. Well, we won it by 6 points in the end or thereabouts. So when we got back up to the 15 guys and that. But I mean, you wouldn't have been out of the championship if you'd lost that game and you had just gone a different route. But excuse me. That was a tight call now.
Yeah.
And then Sarsfields, I mean, we were down to 13 men at one stage with two yellows and a black card in the second half, and we were 5 or 6 points down at half time. Now there's a bit of a breeze there on that. So the guys dug deep now to come back and win that. And then the Selbridge semi final was just a nip and tuck affair. Yeah. There was nothing in it all the way through, and Dara Kerwin came up with a couple of really good goals, you know, to make sure that we got over the line in that. I think we won by 4 in the end. So yeah, look at it, wasn't straightforward, and you know, if you're not on your game up there, up in Kildare and that, you know, you'd be taken out. It's as simple as that, and all these teams have the potential to do that.
Yeah. So and like Clane in the final, Clane have a massive history. When did they last win a senior championship? Can you remember?
Oh, I think it was 1996, maybe.
That far back, is it?
Yeah. 20-something-odd years, 26 years or something since they won it, yeah.
So like, they were in the final, like, obviously, then they would have been fresh, very eager. I don't know how confident they would have been, but you don't get into a final in Kildare without having something special, and you beat them by 9 points. How did that happen?
I thought our lads played well. I thought we could control the game, and a lot of the principles that we, you know, installed and sort of subscribed to, you know, we played that type of football. I think on the other side, I think maybe Clane, maybe were caught a little bit and hopped. They're a very young team, you know, inexperienced in that, and maybe they got caught up in the day a little bit. I know that there was a lot of hype up around the town and that the town of Clane coming into the game and that might put a little bit of added pressure on them. I felt early on now that we were in control, to be honest with you. You'd always have to be wary of things changing the canon in the game and that. But I thought we were always in control of the match. Maybe after 10 or 15 minutes, I felt that they were sort of a little bit defensive, and that suits us down to the ground because we're pretty good at holding on to the ball and making right decisions and that. So it was just a longer process with the defensive game they were played. I suppose 40, 50 minutes it took to break them down in that.
But, yeah, you got 1-4, yeah. I think, in the closing stages.
They had to come out a little bit at that stage, and you know, we sort of picked them off in the end. That. But I still don't think the score difference flattered us really. Because I'd say if we had a possession stat to give you, we would probably end up around 70% possession in the game. So, I mean, that's fairly comprehensive.
Yeah, and 9 players scored over the... Over
yeah, it's good spread. Yeah. I have Coach Kevin Downs working me up there. He's top class. I've yet to see someone, you know, really a skillful and talented at what he does in that. You know, he's big into that and training about shooting and taking opportunities. And it doesn't matter what number's on your back, that, you know, when you get into that position, that you have that sort of mental, you know, mental memory of taking scores and that. And like I said, it was a good spread around the place. And maybe you know, none of our forwards knocked it out of the park, really. So, you know, on a day then when you have halfbacks coming up and scoring a couple of points each and midfielders chipping in as well, and that, you know, especially, you know, with the way defenses are packed these days, you know, that it's very hard for inside forwards and that to get any room. And there's two sweepers and sometimes three sweepers in front of them. So if you can just get the late runners coming in and have the capacity to kick the scores, then, you know, that you know, gives you sort of an extra, yeah, an extra armory in tight games, big games.
Yeah, and there would have been a bit of pressure on yourself, I feel, coming into that final. Like you had Donoghue, Carlow, Naas were the holders, and there would have been a level of expectancy. Did you feel it?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah. You're short and sweet there to the point there, aren't you? Tell us this, Joe. When the game is over, I've had an experience of being in Carlow, and that you tend to give the players the stage. You seem to disappear. I don't know how you do it, but there's so often in the past I said, "Where's Joe? Where's your manager?" Don't know. He's gone. Can't find him. Did you do that in Kildare this year? Did
Yeah,
they?
I just, it's their time now with their families coming in, and you know, their friends and support. So I mean, look, it's grand, you know. It's great when people are sort of give you appreciation and you know. But you know, I just let them on in that, and have, you know, it's their moment now. Like, I mean, my job is done basically. Like,
Yeah.
got it there. So, and it's nice to just go in on your own and reflect yourself as well, and just take a breath, you know, after all the build up and the intensity of a big match or a county final. So it's just to go in and sit down and relax for a few minutes before it all kicks off again, you know.
It does kick off, doesn't it? Then
Yeah.
you're available for the rest of the time then, really. But as you say, that it's a nice touch to be able to just sit back and reflect on it yourself.
Yeah.
Tell us this, what was the process which brought you to Kildare from Carlow?
Well, I won't say it was unusual, but I had really no interest, to be honest with you, when I finished up with our role there after the county final last year. I just wanted to have a break, to be honest with you. I started doing it a long time from playing straight into the management and that. So, you know, it's been a long number of years, and I, you know, our role was you know, it was a big emotional journey, really, because you're so attached to the club and everything. So, and you know, I'm happy that a number of clubs had rang and see if it was interest, and I really said no, thank you, but I just want to
Yeah.
take a break for a while. And then I guess a little bit of time, and then really, because they were in the Leinster final, and that brought them into February before they were sort of looking for anyone for the coming season. And you know, I guess the dust has settled as well. And for myself, I was after having a break, and we're after going through Christmas and so on and so forth. So maybe the time was right as well, because at that stage, you know, from a management point of view, any of these clubs normally have them in place at that stage, where Naas were just looking for someone. And I guess the time was pretty right. So just asked to would I go and have a chat with them, and that was it, really. And to just get back into sort of Kildare as well, Kildare football. Like, I mean, it's very competitive up there, and it's a good standard and a high standard in that. So just to get back in with them, or into that level, you know, was something that sort of appealed to me as well. And yeah, so we decided to take it on then at that stage, and I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, but like you just took the whole lot. It just went. Like, was there ever a time did it slow down at all? It just seems to have been one mad rush from February to winning it. Well, it doesn't. Probably contradict myself a small bit, but it does. The time does go very quickly, doesn't it? And I don't know if
Yeah,
you get much time to sit down and draw breath at all.
No, and that's you've nailed it there on one. I mean, once the league starts up there, I mean, it's week after week. You know, you've 11 league matches. Every now and again, you'll have a weekend off. But then if we qualified then for the semi-final and final of the league, and we won that. And we won that on a Sunday. And then the following Saturday, we're out in the preliminary round of the championship. So straight into the championship then. And like I say, I don't know where the time has gone. It's just been one challenge after another. Because the league is, you know, it's very competitive up there. It's taken very, very seriously. And it's after flying, really. And, it's been great. You know, if you're involved in it, there's nothing worse as a player or anyone in the management team or training teams when you have this gap and this drag of weeks and weeks without a competitive match and you're trying to. We didn't have one challenge match this year. We didn't have time for it. Now, I mean, I've never been involved with a club that, it didn't go and, you know, you'd have three or four challenge matches over the course of the season at least, you know, and we didn't have literally time for one challenge match this year.
Yeah.
And
are you out again? You talk about time gaps and everything. Are you out in the Leinster next weekend? The weekend
no.
after next? No.
No, I think it's because of the seed situation. We're not out. I think it's to the 6th of November. So
yes.
It's straight. The Kildare champions are going straight into quarterfinals. So you'll have the round before that in the next week or two with the football and that. So. Yeah, we've the winners of Nafina or Kilmacud away the 6th of November.
Not
so we've a little bit of a break now.
A handy match to start off your campaign, is there?
Ah, look, I mean, you're going to have to play them at some stage. You know, if you have designs and ambitions of, you know, progressing in Leinster, you know, whoever wins next Sunday in the Dublin County Final will be favourites for the Leinster and probably favourites for the All-Ireland club as well. So, you know, if you want to progress, if you have the ambition to do that, you're going to come across a Dublin team. So, you know, why not meet them early rather than late, you know? So
probably dramatise you a small bit here, Joe. And I'm saying now, here is a manager that has won 5 Leinster club titles and he's managing a club that lost the Leinster title and they really want to put that right. So it's a nice marriage and both sides know what each other wants.
Yeah. There's maybe a crossover there in that. I guess I have a lot of experience in club championships and that. And, you know, even with our rogue, you know, going so close there in 2019, I think it was... But Nace now, they've had their toes dipped in it now, and there's a hunger of with these guys to push on and have another crack at it as well. So, you know, maybe it is a good union there in that way. I'm not sure any experience and knowledge that I have, I'll be only happy to pass it on in that. But there's smart guys up there anyway. Like they know what it's all about from last year.
Yeah. Okay. Just go back to your training methods. I was reading a book there, and one of the things that was O'Loughlin and James Clark, and he was talking about when you came into O'Loughlin first, literally from the first training session, you took the boys aside and you said, "Look, lads, there's going to be nobody pacing themselves here. If you're here to train, if you're not going to train, I'm off." And you changed the mindset. And O'Loughlin went on to win 2 county titles with you. I presume you haven't changed much and you probably perfected your techniques and there's a lot of science involved since around 2010, 2011. Am I right in saying that?
When you're involved with a club and that or any team and you're sort of given the commitments that you have to give these days, it's hard to tolerate people slacking and people not having that ambition and drive to succeed.
I suppose what I've been talking about, lads who would try to pace themselves, get through the training sessions rather than going flat out and go on, sorry.
It's not just about the collective sessions when they're all together and that, you know, I mean, I would be expecting any of the teams I'm involved in probably to do something every day themselves, you know, be with their own programs are things that they're lacking every day. I mean, that's the commitment that's needed now to achieve success in that. So, the collective sessions I've always looked on is when you sort of polish things up and you work on systems and different aspects of the game and that. But I mean, you know, any of the strength, condition, everything, rehab, you know, flexibility and everything, I'd be expecting lads to do that on their own time. So, you know, so, I mean, have I changed? Look at the demands. I remember Bobby Miller used to always say it to us, like, and in one of his sayings, and I guess I repeat it now and again, is you don't feel sorry for yourself, you know, that you get out and you do your training and that. If you want to be, and look, there's no one putting a gun to anyone's head, you know, if you want to be there, be there. But if you're going to be there, let's work hard and let's get the best out of each other and that, you know. So I guess that sort of mindset hasn't changed since O'Loughlin and that. And yeah, and, you know, generally the guys, the teams that I've been dealing with, you know, are on board for that, and they're normally a good committed bunch.
I suppose it's silly of me to ask you, is there any particular final that stands out? And you've two in O'Loughlin, four in Airog, am I right?
Four in Airog, yeah.
I suppose the ball, I tell you what I'll do. I'll ask you, what each of those three teams, is there anything you can pick out from one team to two teams to three teams that was different, but it's something that they brought, to their challenges for championships? Let's say O'Loughlin, Prince, what had they got?
Well, I mean, the three of them are completely different clubs, really. If you look, like, you know, O'Loughlin being just a small, tight little parish area, and, you know, wouldn't have too much senior success in their history books and that. You know, that was just a real novelty, and with all due respect, because I'm very fond of the people down there, you know, they're real country lads, if you know what I mean. They were, you know, and really salt of the earth guys and that. So, I mean, with them, they probably always had the teak toughness and that, and you just sort of bring a little bit more of a football sort of base to them, and a skill base, and maybe a bit of streetwise aspects of their game and that. And, you know, those two finals, and well, we're in three, but we learned from the first one. But the two successes were great, and the people down there, you know, they really responded to it. Airog, I guess at the time, maybe had gone through a barren period for Airog, you know, and that. So, but then being my own club, and you know, it was always something that I was an ambition to train them at some stage, you know. You know, I guess the championships there meant a bit more personal to me. You know, just given my family's history and everything, my own history with the club and that. And then I guess the next one was just a huge challenge, you know, to go outside of County Carlo and into a sort of a tough environment, a very competitive environment. So, you know, they all stand up on their own merits and that. Pick one or two over others, you know, I can't.
No,
really.
No, I'm not asking you to do that, because I know it's not fair. And tell me this, how much did, it's a two-edged question again, how much did the joy of winning that first championship at Airog and the fourth in a row championship at Airog, and then it's tempered with not doing the five in a row, can you articulate how you felt with that first, the four in a row, and then not getting the five in a row?
Well, unfortunately, like, I mean, the freshest memory I have is not winning the five in a row. You know, that's the last game I had with Airog. That's the one that, you know, emotionally, you know, had the biggest impact on me. Not just because of five in a row. You just don't like losing county finals and that. I guess the first one was a little bit more of a relief. You know, the previous year we sort of really underperformed in the quarter final, and
that was, I guess, Rangers.
Yeah, and then the question marks are out, and people are questioning the judgment maybe of the club of appointing me, or my own you know, decision making and that on the field and that. So the first one, I guess, was just a little bit of a relief that we got over the line. And, you know, that we were after, you know, winning what we set out to do and that. So, yeah, but still, I mean, like I said, the most powerful memory I have now is the losing of the last one. You know, I guess that affects me most still because
It's a pity because like those four in a row, they were all special finals. And if I remember, the first one that you won, it was one that you almost lost, and somehow another Aorog dug so deep to get a draw, and the next day you were never going to lose to Ranvilly the next day out.
It looked at that stage the first day, the first match against Ranvilly, it looked like it was gone. Cormac Mullins stepped up and kicked the cracker, and that bought us time and got us another day in that. So
really kicked the winner a minute later. But
yeah, well, I thought the one he missed, now the second one was easier than the one he kicked the draw. So and he was reminded about that after it as well. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Look, there was a little bit of pressure. On the team that year, because like I said, it was such a barren period there of 5 or 6 years or whatever it was, without winning a championship. That one will stand out as more of a relief now than an excellent display of football and a passive football around like that. Just get it done, get it won, get it under the skin,
And then you're up in Naas this year, and look, something very different again, isn't it? The whole setup.
Yeah, the whole setup. Naas is just a massive hive of activity. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. Between ladies and gents football, hurling, camogie. It's constant hive of activity. It's a massive playing base of a club. It's hard to know. It's like Naas has probably gone into nearly a suburb of Dublin now, and there's a lot of people commuting and traveling and maybe new people moving into the community there and that. So it's hard to get a handle on, what the soul of the club is and everything like that. It's not like, what you'd have maybe in Aorog or O'Loughlin or in other places, because of the density of people that are around the place. So, but yeah, it's the hardest thing in Naas is to get pitch time, believe it or not, no matter what team you are, to get on the main pitch and everything for training and preparation. That's the hardest thing. It's so busy up there.
Okay. 30 years since that All-Ireland. It was in 93, but the championship started in 92. So it's the third, you'd have to say it is the 30th anniversary of Aorog and the first run they had in Leinster. Do people still talk to you about that?
Yeah.
Or do you talk more about it now because you're in, I suppose not in Carlow, but more in Naas. Would people know who's John Morgan was on that great year old? That's the question, really.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that, has carried the most, really. And not just maybe that particular one, but maybe the fact that Aorog won 5 Leinster titles in that period. People outside, people around Carlow and everything like that are well aware of it and used to it and that. But, outside the county, not just in Kildare, not just in Naas and that, in a lot of places you go, that realisation that, that 5 titles were won by a Carlow club still fascinates people. And you can have to ask the question a couple of times, did Aorog really win 5 Leinster club titles in the 90s? That's where I spoke about most. Probably people around here are fed up hearing it, it's still a topic of conversation now. Anytime you're outside the county or you're meeting different people in the football, with football background and that.
Yeah, and if you remember, was around in the early 80s, they were in the Leinster final as well. And then there's the 2019 one, so been in 7 Leinster finals, they have a tradition and that's it. And
probably the most satisfying thing, most disappointing as well, but the most the thing that was satisfied me the most was, getting back to a Leinster final there in 2019 against Ballyboden, just to have the club back on that platform again, back on the national stage again. It was a remarkable run, and it was, it wasn't a handy one either. The Bet Sarsfields that year, Bet Portlaoise, two good traditional clubs, and just came up short in the final. And it's a pity, really. There's a lot worse, a hell of a lot worse things that went on in the couple of years afterwards with lockdowns and people being sick and people losing loved ones and that. But it's a little bit of a pity. I'll always feel that you know, the season the following year was sort of knocked on the head because the experience that their old lads got in that run and the age profile of the team, etc. You know, I thought would have really sort of primed them for another crack at the following year. You know, and you know, it never sort of manifests itself with what went on. But yeah, it'll be always a what if sort of a question. Maybe you'll ask yourself in years to come. But like I said, there was bigger things going on at that stage now.
Okay. And finally, just I haven't seen you out on the golf course lately. Or are you just golfing at different times than when I'm there? Have you any time to golf with your lace?
It's not time. I know. The unfortunately, the body has quit on me, really.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, true story. Yeah, no, I have knee and ankle problems from footballing days and that. And it's the march and the style. I'm a useless golfer anyway, but it's always enjoyable in that. But yeah, no, 18 holes is beyond me, no.
Joe, it's lovely to talk to you. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's always good to hear about a character's success story.
Appreciate
over in Kildare in particular.
No problem, Kieran. Lovely to talk to you again.